Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Star Psychics Blog Talk Radio. That's Star. Good evening and welcome to Star Psychics Blog Talk.
We did that last time. I thought I didn't have it set. I'm sorry about that. I'm not supposed to do the stars intro. What kind of a hostess am I anyways, right? Oh, I'm a good one. I'm the most awesome one that there is, right, ladies? All right.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
I've got with my panel tonight. And the topic is going to be myth or truth, fact or fiction. It's actually a continuation of last week. We'll be talking about all different kinds of things, UFOs, strange encounters, crop circles, any kind of mysteries, fairies. Ooh, I love to hear about fairies and any other supernatural events. So in the beginning here, I will give everybody the stars' names. They will be going by their first names that they use. But you'll be able to find everybody on starspsychics.com. First I have Stars Maya, okay, and she is Maya. Then I have Stars Dragon Spirit, and she is Cheyenne. And I have Stars Cosmic Denise tonight, and, of course, we will call her by Denise. And we've got, I have to go look and see who is in. Oh, we have Stars Priestess Candy Ranson in the chat, and we have Stars Judy Noah, and they're all saying hi. They're all waving. So without saying too much here on my end, Maya, I'm going to let you take away with it, because I know all of you are going to have a lot to say and a lot to discuss, and we might even get some really nice callers, and I will let you know.
Okay, thank you, Natalie. Hello, everyone. This is Maya. And I want to welcome everyone, our listeners. We had a fabulous show last week, and we expect this to be just as well. So what we welcome you, if you've been a long-time listener or if you're brand new, and I really want to encourage you, we had a few callers, guests last week, and we really want to encourage you, if you have a personal story to share, or if you are a skeptic, perhaps, of some of the subjects we're going to be discussing, we would really love to hear from you. If you're not comfortable using your, you can go by a first name, or if you're not comfortable, we don't care what you want to refer to yourself as. We just really want to hear your input. This is a very, very broad topic, and there's a lot of beliefs out there, and there's no right or there's no wrong. There's just all of us here discussing what we've experienced or what we have experienced working in the profession. So again, I want to really welcome everyone and encourage you to please call in and share your thoughts. We're a provocative panel, so we really invite you. You don't have to, please don't feel that you have to be all agreeable. That's okay. Obviously, we want you to be respectful as we're respectful. But really, we'd love to hear from anyone and everyone. So please keep that in mind. We want to recognize, too, the folks in the chat room, the experts, and the clients visiting. The chat room runs at the same time as Blog Talk. And I feel like it's a partnership, so they need to be notice for all the hard work that they do, and we kind of all work hand in hand. So what I'd like to do is, if you were able to tune in, or you can always listen to the broadcast after it is recorded. If you were able to listen to last week, we started to delve into fact or fiction, myth or truth, and to discuss some of the various things that perhaps science hasn't completely proven, but if we have an experience, is it real? And we concluded a little bit, and again, we would love to hear what you've concluded, that if we have an experience, then certainly it's real to us, that experience. So there's a lot of different sub-branches, sub-topics from this main theme. But what I'm going to start things out is I would like to bring up the idea of UFOs, extraterrestrials, and just put it out there, do they or do they not exist? I'm going to quickly just say that when I was attending traditional college, I had to do a paper, and I chose the topic of UFOs and aliens, and I did that. This was a long time ago, so it wasn't like it was yesterday. It was probably about 20 years ago, and back then it was not quite as widespread as it is today, or not quite as accepted, maybe, is a better word. At any rate, I decided to do a topic, and I found that NASA, which is a branch of the government, actually has, and anyone that would like to verify and look this up, it is a open public document. And what it basically is a protocol that is to be followed not only by NASA and the military, but how they are to treat non-commissioned people, so just average people, what they're supposed to do when or if a UFO lands or is sighted or hits the ground or so on and so forth. So what I'm going to start off with the challenge is that we're talking about things, fact or fiction. You know, I'm sure many of us have, if we haven't had any encounters personally, we know of someone or, you know, there's a lot of movies that are based on real events, real stories, and there's many reports, a lot of videos out there, just a lot of information. But what I found very interesting about that document that, you know, let's call it the, in case of UFO emergency, is that NASA doesn't have that for fairies or for Bigfoot or for ghosts, spirits. So that suggested to me when I read through this document, again, that was quite some time ago, that suggested to me that besides my own personal belief, which is I am open to that, I do believe that there is life in other dimensions, and we can, I'm sure the panel is going to be interested in discussing maybe how that actually works. But obviously, the government has some knowledge to have such preparedness for this event. So I highly doubt that they have no scientific evidence or nothing to support this, because it just doesn't make sense that they would have a very detailed, very specific plan of action that is, again, it was at the time it was viewable to the public. So if you want to research it, do it. So with that in mind, I want to bring that up, that I do believe that a lot of these encounters, and that, you know, there's a lot to talk about on that subject alone, but of course we're not limited to that. So with that, let's take it over to Cheyenne and see what she would like to add to, again, this broad topic we have here this evening.
Well, first off, hello to everyone who has come to listen to this. And yes, it is a very broad subject, and there's a lot of different avenues that you could take, subtopics, so to speak. I, for one, have, through my experiences, have been lucky enough to travel all over the globe, not once, but twice, really. And I lived out west. And to address what you had brought up was these protocols and stuff. Well, I lived out in the Four Corners area. It's a very common thing. It is not something that is an irrational thought or something that has no depth to it. In the Four Corners region, it's accepted. It's a norm to see different, you know, lighting at night and so forth. It's not like somebody out there says, oh, no, they don't exist. They do believe they exist. There have been books that have been written primarily on three different races. One's called the Zetas, the Reptilians, and the Greys. Those are the three primaries. If you read books, you know, detailing extraterrestrials that you see. And, of course, they have the BLA out there, which is the very large array, which is always picking up on things. I myself, when I was living in New Mexico, I went horseback riding into Hart Canyon because it's the only place that you could go, you know, on horseback. You had to go instead of going by a vehicle. But in the 40s, there was a crash in New Mexico in Hart Canyon. And for anyone who doesn't believe It took 2.5 hours to ride out to the spot, and they had a 12 by 12 by 12 cement lid that they had put over this hole in the ground, and they had put up voltage fencing all the way around it so that people couldn't get into it. Again, out there, it's very accepted. Matter of fact, once a year they have a symposium on different occurrences and so forth, even Arizona. But if you want to take it to a larger scale, when I was in Lima, Peru, out in Peru, they have signs put up that says UFO crossings. It's not as far-fetched now as it was maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago. There's just too much evidence to the opposite that they do exist. I personally worked with a lot of different authors. One of them was a very well-known numerologist and a woman by the name of Miss Darlington. I collaborated with her on a book, and it was on such things insofar as spirits, apparitions, UFOs, anything that a person on the average scale has not been able to put their hand out and touch has been addressed. Another thing, we have civilizations built on top of civilizations on this earth that shows other civilizations. If anybody's really interested, Zachariah Sitchin has a series of books out. One of them is called The 13th Planet. He goes back to the Sumerians and so forth, which talked about people from out in the galaxy that came here. Sidonia, that's on Mars. They have the face of Sidonia, along with pyramids that are the same dimension as a lot of pyramids in Egypt. And all over the face of this globe, there are pyramids everywhere. I believe very much so that there's other existences and so forth. I had a walk-in once for a 24-hour period while I was doing some work out in the Four Corners area. And I remember the exact time that I started, and then I remembered whenever what it was passed the following day. And I had people with me at the time. It was at a group channeling that I was holding out there. I didn't remember anything from that point of time that it started one day until I came out of it the point of time the following day. And I had done things in my home and all kinds of things that I have no knowledge, no remembrance of doing. But there were over 30 people there. So they said, no, you did this. So I don't think it's something that's way far out there that people couldn't believe it. I think, you know, us as a race and human beings, I think with all of the galaxies and the universes that exist, I think it would kind of be, you know, really blinders on if we said that we're the only living existence out of all of these galaxies and universes. You had brought up one movie thing, the Mothman Mysteries. That is a true occurrence. Also the haunting in Connecticut. I think the movie screens at large over the last 20 years particularly have started reaching out and putting more information out insofar as other existences and things that actually do happen, even as far as exorcisms and so forth. You can also go into crop circles, as I had seen on the advertisement and things. But I just feel that, you know, everything in the universe, like the pyramids, they're lined up. The shafts and pyramids are lined up with specific star constellations. Now, why would they need that? Why would pyramids have to have shafts? Why would they have to be lined up at a certain time of year with a certain star constellation? The crop circles and so forth. And the images, not necessarily crop circles, the images like in Peru that you can only see from an aerial view. I mean, bringing it back to the United States, there's the Serpent's Mound in Ohio. Here in Florida, we have a place called Gulf View. It's in northern Florida, and it's considered, quote-unquote, to be a UFO hotbed for the eastern United States. And there's constantly people there taking pictures 24-7, and it's been that way for years. So there's a lot out there that I think exists. The fairy realm, of course, I believe in fairies. I believe in apparitions. I believe in a lot of things that most people, you know, they're not tangible. and I've always been sensitive to that. But I've also known other people and watched other people go through these things like walk-ins or, you know, having conversations with a Zeta. And a Zeta is a particular race that's been talked about among, you know, aliens or UFOs or extraterrestrials, whichever way you term it. But those three are primaries. There's a lot of books out now that you can do research on. And again, you know, the Zetas, the Reptilians, and the Greys. Those are three that have been documented, noted, and accepted by large, by civilization. I mean, it's in actual books that have been written and published and so forth. So, yes, I definitely believe in other existences besides ourselves. I just find it very difficult to believe that it would only be us out of all of these universes and galaxies. You know, we're the only living thing that there is. So with that, I'll turn it over.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Cheyenne, but for our listeners that may be geographically challenged, could you be specific with the when you you referred to the four corners? Specifically, where is that?
Yeah, the four corners is Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado. There is
okay.
a pivotal point. They call it the center of you know, a global center. And it's where all four of these states meet. There's an actual pinpointed place. They've built different things out there so that, you know, visitors and tourists and everybody that goes out there can see it. Four corners of those four states. And they all connect with the same symmetry and so forth. And there is a lot of different energy that exists out there, just like Florida has a magnetic belt that runs underneath it, so it attracts certain things. You know, that's why we get lightning a lot more than other states. The same thing out there. There is something about the composition, everything out there, that attracts extraterrestrials or UFOs, however you wish to term it. It's a very common thing out there. There's many, many underground tunnels as well that is out there and run by our military. And if you mention that to someone that lives out there, they'll go, yeah, they've been there for a long time. It's a casual occurrence. But it's those four states. It's Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado. They all meet in a perfect, perfect point. So, and there's a lot of different energy out there, and people out there have a much broader, that I have found, a much broader acceptance and knowledge of things outside of ourselves that actually exist.
Okay, I appreciate that, Cheyenne. This is Maya, and I was pretty sure that's what you were referring to, but I just thought we could clarify that for listeners that perhaps weren't familiar and weren't aware of what the four corners were. So let's go ahead and bring in Denise and see what Denise wants to add to this.
Yes, thank you. Cheyenne, you're absolutely right. I'm actually in Arizona, and my experiences with extraterrestrials actually never occurred until I moved to Arizona. So the energy here is definitely very potent with a lot of activity. Especially
yes, conducive.
Especially if you head up to Sedona or the East Mountains in Arizona, there's a lot of activity that's always seeming to go on. There's always stories and people saying, oh, we saw the fae on the bushes. Oh, yeah, we saw a UFO. And it's very almost nonchalant
because
it happens so much. And, of course, if you head down to Mexico, there's stories galore as well, things that have been documented, very fascinating stories at that. Now, one thing I did want to mention is, as I spoke of last time in the last call that we did with the first session on this topic, was my experience personally have always been through a very fourth-dimensional kind of just tune-in, remote viewing sense, not so much something where I was physically in an environment and I was abducted or time passed. It's always very controlled, I guess I could say. But it was still very much eye-opening. And my experience has been with the reptilians, with the Greys, and a race of praying mantis-type species, which was very interesting and almost shocking, but very fascinating at the same time. And during those experiences, I've always, again, was very much in kind of a remote viewing state, meditative state, and it wasn't very scary or anything of that nature. It was just all very informational, and it's just, my guide was almost like saying, hey, this is what's out there. Now you can add this to the pot. And one of the first experiences I had when I came to Arizona, one of the first things I did when I came to Arizona is I wanted to go out and do one of the UF watches that I saw on Sci-Fi Channel. And during that time, you know, we were just all out there in the East Mountains of Arizona, and we were just sitting around and talking and kind of just doing our UFO watch. And I remember a woman came in from, she was coming to the session, and she just nonchalantly said, "Oh, yeah, I just saw when I was driving." You know, and it's just like, it's just an everyday thing. And we were also kind of just feeling a lot of just electricity kind of in the air, but we never saw anything. And one person was mentioning how they sometimes can create almost a cloud over the ship. The way they could be hovering, and you just don't see them. They might come off as a cloud that's shaped a little odd, or they might just come off as just an energy force. You know, and I think with a lot of cryptology and species, which I feel are actually terrestrial, extraterrestrials, as we were talking with Bigfoot last time, usually people will have something that comes in before the actual sighting. And what I found with a lot of extraterrestrials is usually an energy or something just doesn't feel right, or there's just this sense of feeling disjointed and disconnected.
Yeah.
And again, it's that energy field. And I'm sure with a lot of mediums like myself, you know, when we first start off and we kind of go to that higher vibration, we also feel a little lightheaded. We have to ground our energy. It's kind of similar. But with the reptilian, it was a very odd experience because I was living with a roommate who was having a very bad, hard time. His girlfriend just broke up with him. He was just in a bad state. And I remember I was just looking at him, and my eyes were open. It wasn't really kind of a closed type of meditative moment. And I saw this image start to materialize of this smirky reptilian face. And it was standing above him. So I saw the face. It was, he was 6'2", and the reptilian was about maybe 3 or so inches taller. And I remember looking at this reptilian creature just start to materialize the head right kind of almost diagonal from him. And I was just looking at him like, what in the world is that? I wasn't shocked, wasn't, you know, surprised, didn't yell out, like, what is that? There's something behind you. I was just looking at it, like, because I knew he didn't see it, knew he didn't believe in any of that. And that was the first time I actually started my research when it came to extraterrestrials. I had an experience earlier doing a meditation, and this was actually, again, once I moved to Arizona, where I was talking to my guide about healing, because I was about to start my healing work, my Reiki and all of that. And as I was kind of in a meditative state speaking with my guide, I saw what looked to be, if you probably went up to maybe about 2-3 inches off ground level, there was a reptilian, not a reptilian, but a gray that was just staring at me. And I kept looking at it. It was almost like it was just kind of almost like, you know, again, standing up almost like on a staircase above me. And it was just looking at me, having this discussion. And I remember I got out of the meditation because I was wondering, what the heck was that? And why was it, you know, being so nosy in my discussion? So again, it was just all these experiences led up to me really needing to do the research. And the icing on the cake was really when I was in a UFO meetup group in Arizona once again, and we did a remote viewing session. And I was just only one of many psychics there. But once we opened our eyes after the whole experience, I described there was a praying mantis-like creature. It had big black eyes. I've never even heard that there were insectoids, I believe they call them. And I thought it was really fascinating. And outside of the building, I saw all these rays in these, like, almost space uniforms. And then I was, you know, I was like, they wear clothes. I was very ignorant, you know, and I'm still, a lot of us are still very ignorant to what all is out there. But it was just so new, and there was a ship actually behind them. And once I opened my eyes and I started discussing all this, the leader of the group was just smiling and nodding and saying, yes, this is all real.
Yeah.
This is what I've been telling you all.
The energy out there is a lot higher than the vibrational energy here. The places that there's the most occurrences and the most definitive proof is always in an area that is of a very high frequency. And you pick up on the energy ley lines very quickly.
Right.
So and everything you're telling me, to me, it doesn't sound odd at all. The remote viewing, a lot of people do remote viewing, including myself. But places like Shiprock and so forth out there that you can go to, a lot of things revealed themselves. So, no, anything that you're saying, it really isn't. I do have one question. The reptilians that you saw, did they have a triangular face?
He had what looked to be almost, it wasn't triangular, no, it was actually shaped in a kind of an oval, but you could see, like, the scale. It looked very much as if you knew you were looking at something that was high evolved and very intelligent and also not up to any good. And this is where I really started doing my research and getting information out there about spirit attachments in the form of extraterrestrials, because these things, as with all beings, even including, I believe, the Sasquatch and the Loch Ness Monster, they're able to go through portals, which is really just going from the third dimension to the fourth dimension. And
right, a gateway.
Yes, a gateway. And I believe there are reptilian beings. I don't believe they're all nice. I'm sure there are some nice ones out there, but the ones I've had experience with and seen, especially around males, have never been very friendly, okay? And I personally feel like they can kind of act as spirit attachments because their goal, their intentions, and I'm sure you've heard of the whole Star Wars kind of thing going on between, you know, say the, what if the Nordics, the very starseed-like beings, and those who are up to no good and maybe walking around in human form. If you've ever looked into David Icke, a lot of people who have researched David Icke, he's all about the reptilian beings in human form that are kind of running the music business, entertainment business, all sorts of you know, conspiracy theories. But if you ask me, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and it's not so much a conspiracy. So
it's really
interesting.
And I want to ask you, too,
from my point of view.
Implants are a very real thing for anyone who's listening. There was a man approximately 17 years ago in Colorado that was rushed to the hospital. They didn't know what was wrong with him. They ended up finding an implant on the inside of his forearm that was actually removed, and they published the pictures and so forth. So, yes, they do attach. Other it's kind of like when you're channeling and stuff. If you're going into another realm in another world, normally you have to know the laws, rules, and regulations, you know, that kind of thing, know what it's about in order to cross into it. But, yes, for anybody that's listening, I just wanted to interject that. Again, nothing that you're saying is surprising to me, but implants, they do attach themselves, and they very much exist.
Yeah, I think when you experience it, it just becomes all the more real.
Right. And this is Maya, and I just want to come in, too, and remind everyone that's listening, we'd love to hear from you if you've had any type of encounter, whether it's life in the sky or something more personal. We're discussing, right now we've been discussing the possibility, and we all kind of have the same philosophy that there definitely is extraterrestrial beings. And so the number to call in if you'd like to join in and give us a personal experience, or if you feel it's just hype, please call in at 347-838-9736. We'd love to hear from you. And so we just have been discussing things that are, that have been coming from, you know, UFOs. We, Denise and Cheyenne talked about the grays and different forms of life. And you were talking, Cheyenne, about the, I happened to see that also when you were talking about the man that was taken to the hospital and they removed a chip. I'd like for us, too, to talk a little bit about crop circles, and what maybe our experience, our feelings are about that. We touched briefly on that during our last week's episode, our topic. But I'd like to go a little bit further into that, because crop circles have been around for quite some time. And there was, unfortunately, I'm sure you're both aware, and I'm sure many of our listeners have at least heard the term. They may not know exactly what it is. But unfortunately, there was a group of people that did hoax and create some crop circles. And it kind of gave the whole gig of crop circles a little bit of a bad name. It made it very difficult for people that were investigating, just like people that investigate the paranormal or UFOs or whatever the case may be. There's There's many groups that's all they do is investigate the crop circles. But if you do the research again, a lot of Cheyenne and Denise shared with us, and I did as well. This is Maya again. That a lot of things can be. You can look it up. There's many noted authors. There's scientists. Many of the people that have had experiences or are connected with people that have are high-ranking people that had, you know, high clearances in NASA, in the Navy, in the military, Air Force. There's many reports of those, and they've stepped forward. So talking about crop circles, what's fascinating to me about some of the crop circles, and I'm talking about the real ones, and there are real crop circles. Just because a few people fake everyone out does not mean that it's all fake. But the precision, which we touched a little bit on last week, the precision of these crop circles dates back to some of the pyramids had drawings, and once, I think, as they were originally, you know, the research that I've done and so on, originally, you know, 100 years ago or whatever, scientists didn't have the technology to correlate or graph what some of this meant. But we now know today, science has proven that some of the crop circles, although science may remain skeptical about how they come, where they come from, or how they appear, they generally agree that the alignment and the symbols are a reflection of some type of solar system or universe, and the precision with which they are done is pretty much beyond, even as modern as we are today and as advanced as we are as a technological society, which we are extremely advanced, they are unable to duplicate that precision to planets. It even goes back to some of the phases of the moon and different planets, solar systems. So there's a lot of you know, fact behind that. You know, again, there might be some speculation, you know, who created this, where did it come from? And so that's what, and again, the listeners, the number to call in is 347-838-9736. We would really love to hear your experience. And even if it's not exactly the topic we're discussing right at this moment, if it has to do with a personal experience, a strange phenomenon, anything that is something extraordinary or something that can't be explained or is not, you know, is perhaps a little bit out there, we would really love to hear from you. Or if you're a skeptic and you believe this is all just nonsense, we invite you to call in. We'd love to hear your input as well. So I would like to pose to you, Cheyenne, with crop circles, you weren't able to join us last week. So with crop circles, I'm sure that you're pretty well versed in things. What is your take on that with how far science has come in at least determining, you know, that there is some type of message in this and the precision? What do you have any opinion or any feeling that you get spiritually, any connection? Where do you feel that these are coming from, or how they're being, the real ones obviously I'm referring to? You know, what is your belief system, or where do you see this in relation to our world and our universe?
Okay, well, again, I've been all over the globe, and a lot of these things I purposely set up to try to learn about. Crop circles are very definitely real. Yes, unfortunately, there was a couple of guys that decided to pull a little hoax thing, but that doesn't go back centuries. And also, I would like to explain, it's not just circles. There are different things all over the globe in different continents. They're not circles, but they're an image, or they're
true.
A pattern.
That's very true.
And another thing I have to bring up at this point is everything in the universe is mathematics. The mathematical equation. Every symbol, every figure, every thing in existence carries a numerological vibration. So if you go off of that vibration, the pitch that it causes or the sound that it gives and so forth, I believe that it is put out there for whichever race, whatever race that has been there or has some type of energy invested in that area. I believe that they are just giving symbols to have this vibration is a call sign, so to speak, or, you know, those blinking lights that you see on top of condos and stuff so planes don't hit them. It's a word out saying, look, we're here, or we've been here. Again, there are symbols as well as circles. And most of the circles that you see, as you said, even with our technology, the way that it is and so forth, there is no explanation that scientists can come up with as to how this is done. And it's, you know, been the same way with the pyramids. They could not explain, even with our modern machinery, we could not build the pyramids the way they are.
Absolutely.
So, again, everything, I believe, carries a vibration. Everything has a tone. It has a sound. The chakras in ourselves are that way. The entire universe is a mathematical equation, so it's working off of vibration. So for me, another race or even another realm goes to a different vibration, a different pitch, just like with the crystals and stones that I use and different things. They carry a different vibration, a different pitch, so they work on different things. I believe the crop circles and the images that are put there are just that. It's a call sign for whatever race, for whatever entity, being, whatever you would like to call it, you know, that they link into this. And they are all over the globe, literally. They
yes.
are on every continent, literally. And a lot of them cannot be made from the ground. And this has been proven, especially with the ones in Peru. There is no way that they could have been made on the ground. Something had to have an aerial view in order to create that pattern, to create that image. Just as I was saying about Mars, Sidonia, the face that's on it, it's perfect. How do I put it? Mathematically, it's perfect. And the pyramids that are right next to that face, which are on Mars, measure out to be the same as the pyramids here. So, again, everything has a number that it vibrates to. Everything has a pitch that it vibrates to. So I think they're just call signs of these different races.
Well,
that's
what I wanted to ask you, Cheyenne. So do you feel that these are, what do you feel is the actual intent or purpose of these, and I agree with you, this is Maya speaking, that they're throughout the globe and you know, all over. I agree with that very much. Do you feel that it's a message? Do you feel that it's just random? What's your take on exactly what we as humans are supposed to make of these?
No, I don't believe in the randomness theory at all. These are purposely, with intent, done. As I said, I think they're call signs for other living things in the universe or galaxy. I also believe that they're put there so that, you know, I mean, we're the living beings on this planet. Maybe somebody's putting that there to say, hey, we've been here too. So
gotcha. Okay.
It could be a lot of things, you know, but I do think it's a way of communicating.
Okay. And this is Maya, and I was just curious. I thought that's what you were pretty much, you know, saying, and that was the theory you support. And I would agree. I don't think it's necessarily meant exclusively for our universe as humans, and I'm talking about earthly beings. That's not to say that there are not aliens that walk among us, but I don't feel that it's necessarily, and again, we're just sharing our beliefs. That doesn't mean that we are right, I'm right, Cheyenne's right, Denise is right, or that we're wrong. We're just simply sharing our experiences and beliefs. But I would agree with you, Cheyenne. I believe that a lot of what we're seeing is possibly, you know, if we can interpret it, well, good for us, but I don't think we've reached that level, at least, again, not the earthly beings that walk the earth. I don't think we've yet got to that level. I think that there may be some that walk among us that are able to translate that. So it's like a foreign language that no one has come across or spoke yet, and so it's a code, if you will. And I kind of agree with you on the theory that perhaps it's assigned to another galaxy, universe, or another set of beings that you know, we've been here, and it might be a message that we just happen to be, you know, the ground that, or, you know, the area that the message is being sent. For what reason? Again, that's speculation. And so, Denise, where do you stand on that idea and that concept of crop circles and what perhaps what the message is, if there is one, and if it applies to us as humans? And again, I'm referring to, you know, the humans that walk. I'm not referring to, you know, I know we could probably discuss that, star seeds or aliens that live among us or that have some alien DNA, but just for regular human beings, what's your take on what crop circles might be trying to tell us, if anything?
Yeah, it's very interesting listening to Shan explain how they can almost be like a stamp, you know, a personal signature of information to communicate with beings beyond just us. And I absolutely agree 100% with her, you know, explanation. It's interesting because a lot of the crop circles that I've seen have been at a wonderful site called earthfiles.com, which tracks all the kind of X-file situations that are really going on around the planet. But that makes so much sense, what Shan was talking about. I also feel like it might sometimes be, because I've seen some that almost look like a map of saying this is the planet that we're located, or the universe we're located, and we're about, like, you know, maybe 5 or 6 star systems away from Earth. So some have looked almost like they're trying to state their location, you know, give us information about where they've come, far out the universe really does span. But I absolutely agree with Shea, and I have to pretty much get on that vote that she's quite accurate there.
Okay, so we kind of all have a little bit of the same, this is Maya speaking, we all have a little bit of the same viewpoint. We differ a little bit in perhaps, you know, I feel to a certain point that if we can interpret it, I like what you said, Denise, about, you know, it almost seems like a map. That, now, that's my spiritual feeling. That's more what my guides, that's not based on anything that I've researched or any personal experience. That's more what my guides maybe show me a little bit, is that it is a map, and it's almost as though, although I think it is, you know, multifactored, if you will, these creations, I do feel that it does go back to where they're from or how they got here, their location in the galaxy universe, if you will. And if we as humans have the technology, which I feel that someday we will evolve to a point where we will be able to be able to really decipher it, again, a code, or just like a language. I mean, there's been many languages that, you know, have taken years for people to decipher and decode, but it's been done. So I do feel, my guides do tell me that someday we will be at that place, whether or not we'll receive help, which that brings me to another topic. And quickly, again, I just want to, again, please invite everyone that's listening. We would really love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your personal experiences, and we'd love to hear from you if you're a skeptic or anything that you'd like to add. The number to call in is 347-838-9736. And so with that, I want to bring up, and again, this is Maya speaking, I want to bring up the idea, because that comes up a lot, about some of this alien DNA, I've heard a lot of terms used. I'm sure we all have a lot of ideas, starseed children, a lot of different names from different solar systems that are actually, they look human. Some people I know believe that they can be shapeshifters, so they can appear to us, for example. I would just want to explain what, when I say that, what, how I define that. They could appear to us, when we look at them, it would be like using special glasses and something looks a particular way. So they appear to us to be humans. However, other people, more spiritually evolved people, or other aliens that may walk among us may be able to see them in their true form. So I feel that there may be some shape-shifting. I do support the idea, however, that there are many people on this earth that walk among us. They work beside us. They live across the street from us. They pull into the gas station and fill up their car. So when I say they live among us, again, I'm explaining and are defining what I mean by that. And I do feel that they are here, and I feel that there's some speculation on what that purpose may be, whether that's a positive for us as a race. And by race, I mean humanity. I don't mean ethnic race. I mean humanity, mankind. So, Cheyenne, what is your take? What is your belief system in terms of, you know, do they walk among us? Do they live among us? And if so, their presentation physically or forms. I think this is a fascinating subject, and more I've seen the subject brought up. So I thought it would be I thought it'd be interesting to talk about. So go ahead, Cheyenne.
Okay. First, I guess it was approximately 40 years ago. There was a series of books that was put out, and it's called The Explorer Race. And the theory 40 years ago, and probably a little bit before then, was that four different races had seeded this planet through four different celestial gateways, Orion being one, Sirius being another, Pleiades being one. But point was, there were four races, four celestial gateways. I definitely believe that, you know, between our DNA makeup and everything else, which is another area that I studied, there's a lot of DNA in our strand that goes to sleep for some reason. And we don't operate on the full strand. And I've often asked myself, well, why do we have those in the DNA strand, but yet they're not awake? They don't get used. I definitely believe that there are other races that seeded this planet, that, yes, there's people walking around that are a mixture of things. One example I'll give you, in the King James Version of the Bible, if you read, you will find the word Nephilim in there, and you'll only find it one time. And that was supposed to be when the archangels had come down and had mated with a human being. So they were considered a demigod. But a lot of the things that I have studied through the years, I've talked to other people about, I've tried to educate myself on, it all came back to the same thing. We're the only planet that has the water supply we have. There's a lot of things about this planet that we haven't discovered anywhere else in one of the universes or galaxies, and that it was kind of like when we were talking before, and we were saying when you incarnate with a blueprint, with everything you want to experience, how you want to experience it, and so forth. But we were called the explorer race. We were called the problem solvers of the universe, that these other races had come here, which connects into your crop circles or you know, whatever they may be. It's kind of like, they come to us because they don't know how to handle something that's going on with that particular race. It's kind of like we're the schoolroom. We're the education end of it. We go through our experiences. We go through our problems, our errors, our happiness, everything. We go through the full ramification. And, again, I believe that it's before we incarnate. I believe that we sign contracts with other beings, with spirit, with different things in order to place them in our lives while we're incarnate. So definitely, I think that there's some ET DNA that's within all of us. And again, as I said, for some reason, it always stuck. Everything that I've read or everything that I could find always stuck to these four different races through four different celestial gateways, constellations that had seeded this planet for the specific purpose of us working through problems for other races. So that's where I stand on that.
Okay, and before we move to Denise, thank you, Cheyenne. That was some pretty interesting ideas and information. We actually have someone in the chat room. He does not want to come on air, but he has asked if we could pose. This is Maya speaking again. I apologize for not saying that earlier. But he's posed a question to the panel that he would like to get an answer on, but he's chose not to call in himself. So I'm going to go ahead and present that, and Denise, I'll ask you to give your input first. And what he's asking is, do any
Excuse
of us
me,
on the panel...
Maya, it's a she. It's she. She.
I'm sorry, it's a she.
No, it's my mistake.
I apologize
she.
For that.
We stand
okay,
corrected,
yes. Okay, it's a she. Baj, I believe, is her name. And what she's asking is she'd like to know, do any of us on the panel give value to cosmic-level knowing versus believing? So we'll move to Denise to see what...
Okay,
Denise,
I hope...
What,
hello, Lachey.
Yeah.
Responding to somebody in the chat room. So I hope I get the question correct. They're asking, you know, is there a difference or do we have a difference between knowing something versus just believing something that we've made or read or things of that nature? Is that what they're asking?
Well, Denise, this is Maya, and I think it's a little subjective. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot because I think the word cosmic kind of might throw us off a little bit. So what I did not speak to this person, but I believe she wants to know, on a cosmic level, how much value do we give to knowing versus believing?
Oh, okay, perfect. Well, personally speaking, with me, I always go, A, by what I personally experience as being 100% true. I never question myself. I never question my spirit guides, and I always know that whatever I come into seeing and whatever environment I come into being is where I'm supposed to be and the knowledge I'm supposed to receive based on just my own personal intuition of, you know, growing up in this field. Now, as far as maybe what I read somewhere, for instance, I did a lot of research on an individual named Kiwani who talks about the psychic backswatch and portals and terrestrial, extraterrestrials. I really listened to him from a place of, did it feel right? What he was talking about, is it something that I personally experienced, A, and did it feel right, B? So with me, a lot of my knowing, it just comes from instinct based on maybe something that somebody else might believe. And at the end of the day, everybody usually, if they're saying something, it's because they probably have had an experience and they truly believe in that experience. But just based on how they might need the tone or the story or whatever, I just take it into, you know, my own intuition and instinct to see if it's something then that I now believe based on, you know, just my vibe. So I think it is very subjective based on somebody's personal instincts and intuition. But I say trust that 100% of the time because it's always going to be accurate. And that's the difference for me between just reading something and believing it versus, you know, reading something and then knowing it. Instinct.
Oh,
intuition.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Denise, for taking that. I know that was kind of a little, I mean, it was a great question. I appreciate, Bosch, I appreciate her. This is Maya speaking. I appreciate her question and kind of challenging us. And quickly, I'm going to say that I agree with you. I place a very high value on knowing versus believing, although I think and feel that believing is important. For me, like you mentioned about your guides, when something is shared to me or with me by my guides or by spirit, divine, whatever term or word you want to use, I place a very high value on that, very high. And so to me, when I consider that knowing, and I take that pretty much almost at 100%. I don't know that we can take that I'm going to put anything in life, spiritual or otherwise, at 100%. But let's just say that when I feel on a cosmic level that I know something, again, via my guides, I do place a very high value. So let's take that question and move to Cheyenne to get her input.
Okay. I'm trying to understand the question as it was posed. And the first thing, the way it came to me was everyone to a certain point, I believe, incarnates with a knowing. It just depends on your evolution, so to speak, how enlightened you incarnate. But everybody, you know, has a knowing of something, whether it's in one area or another. For me, I've always had a belief. I've never questioned it. I've never doubted it. And in fact, when I read a book, there's only parts of the book I'll understand or parts of it that I'll say, yeah, I agree with that. I have learned more from my quote-unquote knowing and my experiences more than I have ever learned in reading a book or looking something up, you know, on purpose or something. You incarnate enlightened, you incarnate with a knowing. You just know it through and through. You may not know where it comes from. You may not question where it comes from, but you just know it. And when somebody knows something, that's ingrained in them. That's in them. It's not something that you can just pick up and drop off. So to have it versus believing, well, if you know, and say, for instance, it's been confirmed to you or if it's been shown to you in some manner that you accept it to be true, well, then you're going to believe in it. Anyone that goes through their experiences, everybody has their own experience. Say, for instance, I can go through one type of experience, and Natalie or somebody can go through a similar experience, but what she gets from it and what I get from it might be two totally different things. So if you're asking if, you know, cosmic knowing versus believing, I believe that if you have that knowing, you already believe in it. You already believe it. Otherwise, you would not be thinking it, and you wouldn't be following through with it, and you wouldn't feel settled on the inside with it either. It's very hard to separate the two for me. Again, a knowing is just a knowing that you have. You know, somebody could say, don't do that because it's going to be wrong. Well, you do it, and it wasn't wrong. It felt right to you. So when you go through those experiences and you learn things or you have a divine thought that comes into your head or your intuition is really kicked in high gear, well, if that intuition is kicked in and you have a knowing, you're also going to believe it because somehow it's going to ring truth with you. And that's about the only way I know how to explain it.
Oh, well, that's great, Cheyenne. This is Maya, and I feel that you did a very great job, and I definitely agree that if we know something on a cosmic, and to me cosmic is more, when I hear that word, I think of our interconnectedness with the spiritual side of things, the collective, universal. Some of us may recognize that as the divine, creator, spirit, God. Again, we have a lot of interchangeable terms that we can use, but cosmic to me implies a universal view, and I totally agree and support that if we know something, then obviously we have to believe in it. At the same time, I think and feel from what I've been shown as a professional in this spiritual work and my own personal experiences and those of my clients, I would say that believing in something is a very strong influence as well, that kind of goes back to, you know, our headline here for the topic. We don't necessarily have to have proof to believe in something. I think it can oftentimes, no matter what the subject, whether we're talking about Sasquatch, the abdominal snowman, the Loch Ness Monster, or, you know, ghosts, poltergeists, crop circles, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, regardless of the actual topic, I feel that anything that we believe in, there's generally going to be something within us that has caused us to have that belief. And therefore, you know, I almost see that there's got to be a intersection is the way that I would kind of describe that. Is there's an intersection between knowing and believing, because I'm not sure that we can completely separate, if that makes sense. I don't know that we can totally separate knowing from believing, because believing is knowing and knowing is believing, in a sense. So I would place value on both. If someone really believes in something, again, just to simplify it, someone believes that ghosts exist, something in their life or in their experience or in their spiritual DNA, something has occurred to create that belief. We don't just pull beliefs out of our hat. I don't believe that we just have random beliefs. I mean, what do you think, Denise? Do you think we have random beliefs, or do you feel that there has to be something?
You make a great point. You make a really excellent point in that if you believe in God, for example, it's not so much that you have to see it. And I'm sure most people have experienced it in some way, but you may not be conscious of all those experiences. But I do believe that if you have a belief in something, you're right, there is something inside where you actually know it as well. So you're right, they can be very much the same thing. And I think it's really all how you define it at the end of the day. But you do make a great point.
Yes, thank you, Denise. And real quickly again, we're coming to the end of our time together this evening. So one more time, I'd like to give out the number. This is Maya. And again, we'd love to hear from you. And it's not too late to call in. We're still going to be here for a few minutes. The number is 347-838-9736. And so we're going to be wrapping things up. And I just want to turn it over to each of you one at a time and see if there's anything else that we haven't discussed or anything that you would like to add. Cheyenne, if you want to go ahead, if there's anything else that you would like to put out there to our audience to consider, or whatever you'd like to share as kind of wrapping things up as some final thoughts or ideas.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I think I would tell everyone, you know, if you have a knowing or you believe in something, believe in it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You got to live in your skin, and you're going to learn through your own experiences. It's okay to get objective points of view. It's good to research something if you're really pulled to it. But my biggest thing will be, no matter what you read in a book, does not make it necessarily the truth. So everybody should follow their own path and what they believe in, whatever resonates with them and really calls to them, they're drawn to, then that's where you need to be. I have not found personally or have talked to anyone who has ever found 100%, you know, complete truth in anything. Everybody resonates with a certain part of it, and that's the part that you take, and that's how you start building your belief systems and trusting your knowing. Personal experience is always the best teacher. It would be difficult for me to talk to anyone or explain something to someone if I have not personally experienced it. I wouldn't be able to sit there and tell you the truth about it if I have not experienced it. So again, just follow your own path, no matter what it is that you believe in. If something's calling you, go for it. Don't sit there and wait for somebody else's approval or somebody to tell you that, yeah, this really exists, or no, this doesn't exist. That's not what it's about. It's about what us as individuals, even though we're part of a collective, what do we bring to that collective? What have we experienced? What do we know that we can bring to that collective? So that would be my first and foremost thing that I would like everybody to kind of keep stuck in their minds.
And this is Maya, and I definitely agree. I know probably all of us as humans have been in a group situation where something has occurred, even if it isn't something extraordinarily supernatural or paranormal, even something very simple. You mentioned before, I believe, Cheyenne, earlier about how we can each, you know, every time something occurs, there's a transmission of energy and a perception of how we take that, and each person is going to take that. They're going to have their own perceived concept of what occurred or what happened or what transpired, kind of like the old game of telephone. You know, one person makes a statement, and by the time it passes down the line, it's been changed. So I definitely agree. If you, for those out there listening, if you've had an experience, even in a group, if you experienced it and you felt it and it resonates with you, as Cheyenne said, and you feel that it's true because it happened, you know, because you experienced it, validate yourself. As humans, I feel that can often be an obstacle and block for us, that it's human nature, so to speak, to seek the approval of others and to be validated by others. We all want that. We don't want to be ostracized. We don't want to be the weird one. But if you've had an experience, whatever that encompasses, whatever you perceive that to be, validate it for yourself and take it with you, and that's all you need. It doesn't matter. Again, I've been in a group where I had an experience, and when I questioned other people, I mean, they saw, felt nothing like what I felt. And then there's been times when it's been the opposite. Someone else has said, oh, you know, did you just see that? Did you hear that? No, I did not at that time. So I think that's a great point. And that's part of, as spiritual beings in physical bodies, that's part of finding our true self and path. That's a very important part. Being able to self-validate and not relying on others in all areas of life to be able to validate yourself. So let's go ahead and see what Denise would like to share with us before we get ready to end the show here.
I think I absolutely agree with all of the points that were made, and I think one of the really important things just to carry through life is to always be curious, always want to know more. Because one video will lead to another video, and that'll lead to another video. One book will lead to another book, that'll lead to another book. One website will lead to another website. You get the idea. So always be curious to learn more and not just shut the wall down and be like, well, that doesn't exist, you know, and that blah, blah, blah. So just be curious in life, and you'll have great experience, unique experience, and you're going to learn a ton. And hopefully we'll all get to travel around the world, because I'm sure you have a slew of experiences, Cheyenne. But I think in your own world where you are right now, be curious. Whatever you're questioning or want to look more into, whether it's starting your own business to just learning more about the topics that we've discussed, do your research. Learn a little bit more about it and see where it leads you, because you never know where it's going to lead at the end of the day. You could have your own experience at just, you know, video two. So just like I said, be curious in life. It's fun, and you'll learn a lot.
Thank you, Denise. I agree. This is Maya, and I definitely agree that we should be open-minded to all things in life. And I feel that more open-minded, it doesn't mean that we have to be extremely naive to the point of, oh, I wonder if I jump off that 300-foot cliff and jump in the water, if anything bad will happen. I would say no, that's probably not what we're suggesting. What we're suggesting is that if you are curious about life and you keep an open mind, I believe that will come back to you. That's a great point that you brought up, Denise, because I do believe that it does come back to you, and therefore you receive more knowledge. And it also, I feel, it feeds our spirit and our spirituality, because it's all about energy and being open and non-judgmental and accepting. And we do have a little bit, excuse me, I'm talking too much. We We do have a little bit of time left here. And, again, anyone that wants to call in, 347-838-9736. So, Cheyenne or Denise, did either of you have anything else along this phase or fairies or I know there's a lot of interesting things that occur during sleep. Was there anything else that either of you wanted to, we don't have a lot of time, but we do have a little bit of time if we would like to further the discussion. So do either of you have anything that you would like to briefly touch on?
Go
ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I just have one little story about my experience with today. Again, all my experience seemed to be...
Let us know who you are. This is Denise, right?
This is Denise. Sorry.
Okay,
this is Denise.
Yes.
And my experience always seemed to come almost in a very fourth-dimensional state, which is very safe for me because I don't freak out easily, but I think it's just how my guide seems to bring information to me. But I was working with a friend of mine, and she was teaching me matrix energetics. She was doing some matrix energetic healing. It's very fascinating to look into it if you're really into quantum physics and quantum physics with healing. But we were kind of doing some work, and she's like, you know, read my aura. Tell me about my aura. So I was looking at her aura, and I kept seeing what looked like a little fae. Like it was just this purple, almost light that kept kind of just flitting around the back of her. I said, you know, it looks like you have a fairy on you, and it's coming off in this very purple, spiritual color, and it's just really cute. It just seemed very active. It was almost like it was a fairy spirit guide of sorts. And then she's like, oh, my gosh. And she showed me a photo that she took in Sedona where she wanted to contact the fae, she wanted to interact with the fae realm, and she asked the fae to show themselves in the photo she was about to take of a bush. And next thing you know, she took the photo, and when it was developed after, I believe it was more of a digital camera, though, she took, but she showed me the photo, and it was all these little lights, and you could see almost like these pixie-like little bodies just all over this bush. And I was absolutely amazed by it because it was the physical proof that I've probably been looking for a long time. There's not that much physical proof out there about the Fae realm and photos, and it was just absolutely amazing. The next time I go to Sedona, I'm definitely going to try that out as well. But to me, that was my only experience with the Fae, is seeing them in the fourth-dimensional state as well as seeing them actually photographed all over a bush in Sedona, Arizona. So that was amazing. But I would love to know if anybody else had an experience where they've actually seen it like out in nature. You can see the fae and
right.
And
what about, this is Maya, what about you, Cheyenne? Have you had any experiences that you would like to share that are similar to Denise's or perhaps completely different?
Well, throughout my whole life, I always put on everything that I send out for the public. I always put, I'm grateful for all my experiences because insofar as different dimensions, veils, other realms, starting at a very, very young age, a lot of things have been disclosed to me. And it was confirmation because I had always sensed things or seen things or heard things. And again, we're talking about things that are not normally tangible. These are things that actually exist. But if you think that you know, a crystal ball is going to get you there, it might not. I had beings that actually talked to me. My ascended master guides started talking to me before the age of 9. And as you had said to me, we lived in Georgia, and I had a huge backyard, and there was nothing but flowers and trees and vines, and I was always back there talking to the beings that I could see. And my mother would come out, and she would see and hear me talking to these beings, and she watched me to the point where it almost started scaring her because I didn't give her any, you know, imaginary friend names or any of that stuff. So at a later date, my grandfather, who is Cherokee, had come up to me and he said, believe the things that you're seeing because they're actually there. We get so trained to, how should I put it, our vision gets very, very tunneled. And we don't leave it open to invite these other realms to be seen. Once you get past a certain point through my own experience, once you believe, that's what's going to get you there. Because if you believe, then you open yourself to the possibility to where something from another realm or another dimension, because there's many dimensions, that will present itself to give you some type of confirmation. I always tell my clients, you know, they say, this is going to sound weird, but I need to tell you this. And they tell me, and I'm like, that's not weird at all. It's completely normal, believe it or not. So don't doubt everything that you see. If you start hearing somebody talk to you or you see something and say nobody else sees it but you, take the validity of it. Believe that it's there. I'm sorry, but us as human beings, we hear all these different things and we start thinking that it's kooky or, you know, off the wall or somebody's lost their mind. Well, the best thing any of us could do is lose our minds, because then that's going to leave us open to seeing, hearing, sensing, and feeling what actually is in existence instead of what we're blocking out and only allowing in. So, yeah, if you see fairies, yeah, they exist. To me, they exist. You could carry on a conversation with them. You can build a little garden for them, which I even have a garden, a small garden. I live in an apartment, but I have a garden for my little fairy folk. So don't close yourself off. You know, definitely don't get caught up in the tunnel vision thing. There's a vast array and a vast amount of spiritual energy that's out there that's in a lot of different levels, a lot of different beings, and they actually exist. It's just what you're going to allow yourself to be open to. And I'm only going to use this analogy really quick, and then I'll turn it over. If you're standing on a railroad track and you look down, the tracks are separate. If you look off in the horizon, the tracks come to a point. So your eyes will fool you. If you're going to go just by your eyes are going to lie to you. And that's a proven fact. So go by those other senses. Go by the intuitive thoughts that you get, the gut feelings that you have, because there's a reason that you're getting them, and it's not insane to believe in something else outside of yourself. And with that, that's about all I have to say for this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Cheyenne. This is Maya. And I'm just going to end things by saying that it was interesting that we received the question, and I want to thank Vague, I hope I'm saying that correctly, or Vogue. I want to thank her for presenting the question, and I think that we answered that. And I would also like to say that I have had a lot of UFO experiences, more so than, and, you know, we talked about cosmic, the value, that was her question, you know, how much value we give to knowing versus believing, but that word cosmic to me meant spiritual knowing. And these were physical interactions that I had, numerous ones where I feel, you know, of course I'm in the spiritual realm in terms of I've embraced that part of me. And so maybe I'm a little more open-minded than some, but I definitely did have some very real time, real world in this planet experiences. I don't feel that they were any type of parallel universe. I believe that they were actual encounters. So I really am fascinated, and I really believe that the UFOs and extraterrestrials, I do feel, and my guides support that we're going to see more and more of that. And I believe that in our lifetime or in this century, definitely, we're going to see that this is proven to us, and there's going to be contact that's not so hush-hush. We're not just individual people, but on a very large scale to the point where the government will be, they won't really have a choice. So with that, I want to thank everyone, and I want to go reintroduce and let everyone know that if you'd like to speak with anyone on the panel or in the chat room, or any of the wonderful experts, you can find us at Star Psychics. That's stars with a Z, so it's S T Starzpsychics. And Cheyenne is Stars Dragon Spirit. And Denise is Stars Cosmic Denise. And I am Stars Maya. And we would love to help you if you had an experience or you would like more information or you would like a session with any of us. Please feel free to come on the site and take your time, flip through the profiles. And if we have so many wonderful, talented experts in all different realms and specialties. And so absolutely, if someone else resonates with you, go with your gut. That's a really good place to start if you haven't been a client on our site. I want to thank everyone for listening and joining us this evening. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Natalie and let her wrap things up. It's been a great discussion, very, very challenging.
To say the least, it's been awesome. I second a lot of the things that were said, and you know what I feel and what I know, and that is my belief, and I've had it for 12 years. So it's true. All of it is true. Sometime I'll talk about what I saw during the night. I woke up and I saw. I think everybody would enjoy to hear that. But I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. Vaj said thank you, ladies, and he said, she said to enjoy your evening. And also we need to thank Stars Judy Noah, Stars Priestess Candy, Stars Cosmic Denise, Stars Dragon Spirit, Stars Maya, for coming and sharing all these experiences. See, I said it for 90 minutes, and I wasn't off by far, because I know once everybody starts talking, it's wonderful. I mean, it's just totally wonderful. And had a nice mix tonight, and I'm really, really happy. I'm always happy when I'm on the show, when I listen, and I go back and forth from the chat, and I talk in there, and then I come back and listen some more, and I'm always listening, though, of course, but thank you, ladies. It's been a great evening. Everybody knows that I love everybody very, very much, and we're going to do this again next week and watch for the topic on Blog Talk Radio. I will post it probably by Wednesday. I'm trying to do it earlier and earlier all the time, and we'll hopefully Denise will come back, and we'll have Stars Dragon Spirit, also known as Cheyenne, and Stars Maya, and I'm really, really thrilled. And everybody, please have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Take care.
Love you, too.